We welcome British singer-songwriter David Ford back to the World Cafe. His second album is called Songs for the Road. And indeed, Ford has been doing a lot of touring, particularly in the U.S. and particularly as an opening act. Having seen him recently as an opener, I remarked that I was impressed that although the audience didn't know him at all, he managed to suck them into his performance. I asked him if he found that encouraging.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there are some shows where I kind of know before I begin that I'm only ever going to reach sort of 50% of the audience because, you know, the other half are just never going to be interested. I could put on the finest show that has ever been presented to the human eye and ear, and they'd still be at the bar having a conversation. So, it's a challenge, and it's one that I very much enjoy. You know, I like to think that what I do is to try and present something that appeals to people on a human level rather than as a musical consumer level. So rather than sort of tapping into something that they think is cool musically, I'd rather, you know, try and get to the root of some sort of deep-seated, difficult interpersonal things that they might have going on in their lives, because that's kind of what I'm more interested in about the kind of the bigger shots in music, rather than trying to do something kind of cool and catchy and pop and throw away. I'd much rather do, you know, present songs that people can have a meaningful relationship with rather than a one night stand.
What do you want to begin with?
We're going to do a song called Train.
Well, the sun's coming up and the dust, it is clearing. Down the line I am hearing there's a train coming in. I left my home and my girl, tried to find someplace better, but I never could forget her. So let this train take me home. Please, my darling, forgive what I've done. I found nothing, just some big lonely world. So take me back, please, my lover. Take me back, please, my lover. It took a train to discover I cannot be without. I was young, I was green, prone to foolish decisions. Had what I thought was ambition, yes, and this will to be free. Yeah, but freedom, it's just some word don't believe has a meaning. So on this train I am leaving, I'm trying to get me back home. So take me back, please, my lover. Take me back, please, my lover. It took a train to discover I cannot be without you, girl. Pouring the cup of coffee, pretty soon I'll be leaving. I am done petty thieving, hitching rides and drinking beer. I'm so tired of having friends just to keep out of prison. Man, this life really isn't all I hoped it would be. So please, my darling, forgive what I've done. I found nothing, just this big lonely world. So take me back, please, my lover. Take me back, please, my lover. It took a train to discover I cannot be without you, girl. It took a train to discover I cannot be without you, girl. It took a train to discover I cannot be without you, girl.
David Ford is playing live today, and that is A Train, one you will find from a Song for the Road, the new album, the second album, and a good one indeed. You do a lot of interviews, and I've been reading a lot of them, and I find most of them are really fascinating in some one form or another. And one of the things I thought was really, really great about it was your description of what it was like to be in America and sort of the vastness of America, and that a lot of the places you went to, you felt like you'd seen because you'd seen them in film. I thought that was... That means filmmakers are kind of getting it right, is one thing it means.
They are, and alarmingly, New York has a familiarity that's just uncanny. I mean, Joey Hibbs, his first trip to New York was like a couple of days ago, and you were saying, weren't you, that like steam comes out the road,
just like in the movies.
I don't know if I thought that was just a big lie, but steam comes out the road, and like yellow cabs try and run you over whenever possible. So New York was exactly everything. Expected it would be.
Well, I want to turn this around a little bit because you're from, as you say, the southern part of England, Eastbourne.
Yes.
Yeah. And okay, you know, from movies, we have visions of what that might be like. You know, chip shop on the corner and the local and all that. Yeah. Distinguish your town. What's it like? What's
it like? It's pretty much like that. It's a kind of typical old English seaside town. So we have an ornate Victorian pier stretching out into the English Channel. We have extensive Eastbourne as a town is very proud of its gardens on the seafront with like pretty flowers, and ladies walk around in long dresses and petticoats and parasols, and gentlemen always wear top hats. And we have tea on the lawn.
And you probably had to wear knickers as a kid.
Absolutely.
But did you like growing up there in reality?
I kind of, I like it a lot more now that I don't spend that much time there. And that's not to be any kind of insult to my hometown. I love it very dearly, but, I find, you know, being away from home a lot, to go home is a wonderful, wonderful thing for me that I cherish very dearly. And, as a place to grow up, it's a fairly small town. It's very pleasant. We don't have particular problems with crime or anything. Mm. It's a very sleepy little seaside town, which as a teenager is incredibly boring. But as a grown up, I kind of now really appreciate having spent my formative years somewhere that was kind of as unthreatening as it was.
Now, where did you escape to start make music, or did you do it there?
Oh no, I did it at home, but which again I think was useful because we didn't have any touring bands come through town. There was no music scene at all, so you couldn't. There was never an opportunity to try and tap into whatever was cool and what was now. So, you know, my musical education consisted of listening to my dad's records, and he liked Pink Floyd and Phil Collins and things. So that was kind of the first that I knew of music was just kind of what my parents listened to, and you know, in addition to Phil, they also had some good records. That's a bit harsh on Phil. I'm a closet Phil Collins fan. So I should.
There are obviously many, or else he wouldn't be as rich as he is. So,
yeah.
So there you go. David Ford is our guest, and who else is playing? With many Davids in the room.
Who's... Okay, this is David Wallace on acoustic guitar and occasional piano duties, and this is Joey Love, the virtuoso suitcase player.
And I think he has a suitcase deal too. So he has specific suitcases, or is it?
Well, we're traveling with three suitcases at the moment. but generally, one gets used at a time. But each has their own separate little tonal qualities. Originally, the idea was that we could have, but by microphoning a suitcase in a particular way, you can have it sound like a half decent drum kit, and therefore save all the space. But now that we have an ever increasing array of suitcases, we may as well just travel with drums after a fashion.
That's a good point. What do you want to do next? As you change drums.
That's a good question. What are we going to do next? We're going to do Go to Hell in a fashion that we've not done before.
I never treated you so mean, like that's a reason to be proud. My love, I know it's been so long, but I thought that I'd just call around and with that smile that says, yeah, well, you see, I knew you'd wait for me. I can hear you say, the day I fall down at your feet, go to hell, go to hell. Well, I thank you for your understanding. I won't be long. For the things round the house you've left unthrown. And hey, I know it's been so long, but I thought I'd call. Just come crawling back in time, just to hear you say, go to hell. Just go to hell. Just go to hell. My sweet indecision, do you think I'd wait around for you? Just go. Don't deserve you, you don't deserve this, so tell me, hey, hey, hey. Just go to hell, go to hell, go to hell, go to hell.
David Ford playing live for us today on the World Cafe, and that is the song that that warmly welcomes you into Songs for the Road, his second album. You are a man of many opinions, and I share many of them. So that's why there's a couple things I want to talk about. One of them is made what I'm not sure I share this one. This is kind of a provocative thing you said, that the music business, music has never been in as bad a place as it is now, except for the 80s, you point out, and we can all, the 80s are a special decade.
The 80s was fine. The only people who were making good music in the 80s were gay.
Like, yes.
All the gay bands, Pet Shop Boys, Erasure, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, all the 80s gay music was fantastic. Heterosexual music from the 80s is terrible.
There are those who would say that this is not a bad time because of, you know, indie music as such. Are you just looking at the top of the pyramid?
I think if I was quoted as saying that, I was probably saying it in reference to the music business in Britain, which has become very much monopolized, and it's very difficult to actually sustainably have a career unless you're going to break through into the very, very big time. you know, and part of that is geographical, because Britain's a very small country, and you know, it's a small pond with a few big fish in it. Whereas, you know, I kind of find America to be a lot more. You know, I think there's a lot more room for a lot of different music and artists and different kinds of things to exist and to actually survive and to be able to, you know, sustain themselves over here. So I certainly, you know, I it seems to me like it's in a healthier state over here than it is back home.
Another thing I heard you comment on, and this is something I share wholeheartedly, is the elder statesmen of music and their lack of dignity. They're not knowing when perhaps it's time to do something else.
I don't know. I think you just want me to just slag people off, don't you?
No. Maybe I'm saying I agree with these opinions, so okay. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm never going to get to interview Mick Jagger.
To qualify that, I think the elder statesmen of music. I think there's a distinct divide. There's the ones who are in their 60s and still trying to be rock and rollers. That's a bit embarrassing. But then I think there's a lot to be said for aging gracefully, and I think some people manage that very well, like. Elvis Costello, he's a very classy guy. He's you know, advancing in his years. Tom Waits is still making some incredible kind of pioneering music in, you know, knocking on the door of 60.
I'll throw one in here. Okay. It might be a bit of a surprise because you might not have heard yet, but Joe Jackson has made one of his best albums of his career.
I've not heard it.
Vital and a very pleasant surprise.
So. I think that the problem comes when you know, like someone like, I don't know, McCartney, say, wants to do something that's kind of sort of hip and now, and you know, being a billionaire who can kind of get everything you want, is like, how do you stay hungry enough to sort of make something that's relevant? And you know, I think there are ways of doing it, but you know, rather than an attempt to be now, you kind of should make an attempt to act your age if you're going to be an elder statesman of music. You know, I hope when I'm in my 50s or 60s that I'll understand that, and I won't be dressing in spandex and, you know, trying to pull cartwheels and dislocating my hip. But you never know. Maybe that is the way to
It'll
go.
Be time to make that standards album, and you can do all the gay artists from the 80s.
Exactly. I think that is ripe.
It'll do well. David Ford is our guest, and his new album is Songs for the Road, and we're hearing some live versions of tunes, and another one on guitar?
Yes. This is a song called I'm All Right Now. Tide came in and it nearly buried us here, but we saw things like they wouldn't believe. You hear a lot of stories about love and romance, but I swear nothing quite like you and me. And every scar sits like a marker, every line on the face is a small souvenir of all the places, be they good or be they bad, we stopped into on the journey to here. So maybe I lost my sense of direction, but I'm all right now. Every man needs a little affection, so I'm all right now. There were times when you're right, I'll confess, I did things of which I am not proud. Everybody waits through the same colored mud, yeah, but it doesn't drag everyone. Stupid, I was insensitive, I was all the things I promised that I never would be. I've seen a lot of foolish behavior in my time, but I'll tell you, they've got no.
Another evening of sublime self-destruction to the tune of 1,000 cigarettes, where every nail that's hammered into your spirit, whether it wasn't able to sink you just yet. And your television is just some weak anesthetic to numb the senses till you're out like a light. Like all these drugs, they seem to promise you the earth, and then they don't keep you warm in the night. So maybe I lost my sense of direction, but I'm all right now. Every man needs a little affection. Sign to believe in, and I'm all right now. Sing along when your heart's finished bleeding, and I'm all right now. I'm all right. It's like I cannot sleep for dreaming, and this is everything I could have possibly hoped it would be. A lot of stories will end happy ever after, but I swear nothing quite like you and me.
I'm All Right Now is another one of the new ones from David Ford, who's playing live for us today on the cafe. And a song, kind of a crisis seems to be resolved. It brings up the question, which I'm sure you get, as to whether you are the subject of these songs or whether you're telling stories. Or
I'm completely not the subject of the stories. I'm not nearly as dysfunctional as the poor person in the songs who seems to go through all manner of crises. But you know, not that I'm entirely a stranger to crises, but you know, maybe things get exaggerated and dramatized slightly. But I always try to write about things that I understand or things that I know or have experienced. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I'm actually that person in the here and now at the time of writing it.
Gotcha. We have time for one more. You want to utilize that piano?
Yes, I'm going to wander over to the piano. This is called Song for the Road.
Well, the day cast down lengthy shadows on unfamiliar towns. And I drove 300 miles from the place I call home. And I tip my hat to the angel of the north. And the sun had set fire to the heavens on the hills over Sheffield tonight. And I will sail over this countryside with new friends and old. And we are nowhere, but man, we're all right. So you can keep your belief in whatever, and I'll wear my cynicism like a tattoo. And while poets try to engineer definitions of love, all you know that all I can think of is you. And I just can't wait to see you on Sunday. Far from the traffic and the smoke and the noise. But for this evening I'll play back every message that you've sent, so I can sleep to the sound of your voice. Oh. Now I don't lightly use words like forever, but I will love you till the end of today. And in the morning when I remember everything that you are, well, I know I'll fall for you over again. Now I know someday this all will be over, and it's hard to say what most will I miss. Just give me one way to spend my last moments alive, and I choose this, I choose this, I choose this. I choose this, I choose this, I choose this. I choose this, I choose this. Yeah, I choose this.
Song for the Road, one of the songs for the road that make up David Ford's new album of the same name. David, thank you so much for coming by.
Oh, thank you for having us in.
David Ford, our guest, and we'll be back here in a sec on the World Cafe.